May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, hearty greetings to all of you, children of God by the Spirit of God. It is an honor to stand before you here at St. George's on my first Sunday as your new rector. And I am grateful for the new opportunities that we will have together to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world in desperate need of good news for a change. So on this day of Pentecost, I'm particularly excited about the work of the Holy Spirit in and among us. You see, the coming of the Holy Spirit fundamentally changes who we are. But unfortunately, we had to deal with some bad news before we rejoice over the good news. So imagine with me, if you will, the things that I'm about to describe. Imagine a world where there is no effective check on sinful urges and oppressive systems. Imagine a world where pain, devastation, and destruction are found everywhere. Imagine a world where it seems death is the only thing that we have in common. Imagine a world where it seems that God is far away, if one dares to believe in God at all. Well, imagining that is an easy task because that's the world we all live in without the Holy Spirit. But now, Jesus has overcome sin, risen from the dead, and disarmed the satanic powers. He has brought our humanity into heaven in his ascension and intercedes for us until his return. And today especially, he has sent a gift that far surpasses anything that our paltry, any paltry thing that our minds can conjure up when we're in one of our more greedy moments. We have been given the gift of God's very own presence living and working within us, both individually and corporately as a church. We are people of the Spirit by virtue of divine grace. It's nothing we earn. It's nothing that we have to twist our Heavenly Father's arm about. The Spirit of God dwells in everyone who has taken hold of baptismal grace by faith. And in our readings today, we discover one of the amazing benefits of having the Spirit living and moving within us. The Spirit activates our new identity as children of God. Say it, children of God. We see Jesus allude to this reality of our being children of God in our gospel lesson. Philip is clamoring to see the Father, but Jesus chides him and says that he's seen the Father already in him. But then he promises the Advocate, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will never leave us and will always lead us into a fuller understanding of the truth. God's own presence teaching us, abiding with us through thick and thin, and opening the eyes of faith within us to see the Father as we look to Jesus. The Spirit helps us encounter our Father in heaven. We also see in our lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, Jesus fulfilling the promise that he gave by sending the Spirit to go and proclaim the good news to everyone who were gathered in Jerusalem from all corners of the known world at the time. They came to celebrate the Feast of the First Fruits, when the Jewish faithful rejoiced over the gift of the law that was given to them through Moses, and so they went and offered an early gathering of their crop for that year. Well, back in Pennsylvania, I used to grow green beans, among other different kinds of vegetables, and I used to love to get those first round tender haricot verts that I could pluck from the vines. They were so succulent and so flavorful. And that first yield was always a far cry better than the later beans, which were still pretty good, but just not as potent. And certainly better than the ones I would find kind of hiding out in the leaves and would get really long and really woody. So what the people of God offered in the first cut of the harvest was to be the best of their labor, right off the top, just as God offered his best in freeing them from slavery and giving them a new way to live in that new freedom through the Torah. Well, remarkably, the Spirit of God given to us on that first Pentecost after the resurrection is a kind of first fruits in reverse. God has given us his best, his very own presence, the Spirit of the living God. Elsewhere, the Spirit is called a down payment, the payment in earnest now that secures the fullness that we anticipate in the future. So all of our longing for a new heavens and new earth, our longing for our resurrection, for the return of Christ, for the day when the earth is filled with the glory of the Lord as much as the waters cover the seas. Well, the Lord has given us his very own self in the person of the Holy Spirit as a promise to bring those very things about. Talk about overpayment. God gives us his infinite and eternal self within our finite and mortal existence to secure our future. In comparison, the other promises of heaven on earth or when Jesus comes to reign over all things, well, those seem to be almost playthings. We got the best thing already. The same Spirit that hovered over the waters in creation and that brought Jesus back from the dead, leaving an empty tomb. That's who dwells inside of you and you and you and you. And within whomever God stays, he counts as family. Which leads us to that little amazing passage that we read in St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome. There's something special about how the Spirit works in his people. He makes efficacious all that the Father has promised and that Jesus has secured for us on the cross. The Spirit applies the saving work of the whole Trinity, especially as regards who we are. We are adopted into the divine family. We are children of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are people set free from slavery to sin and death and brought into the promised land as sons and daughters by the Spirit, living according to the law of love that comes from the heart, not just the law of Moses, which chained us to the reality that we could never live up to God's best for us by mere human strength. We need divine power within us to do the greater deeds that Jesus talked about. We need godly love to displace our sinful lusts. We need the sure promise of knowing that God will never leave us or forsake us when we inevitably make mistakes along the way. And guess what? We have it. The Spirit makes us genuine children of God and does the heavy lifting for us so that we can live up to who we are, children of the Most High God. One of the time-tested definitions in both Scripture and tradition of what it means to be a child of God is whether one is truly obedient to the Lord. So, and with so high a bar, that basically means that pretty much everyone is a child of the devil to start off with. No one is righteous. No, not one. But thanks be to God, Jesus has offered his Spirit to live and do in us what we can never do for ourselves. We are adopted by our Heavenly Father, granted all the benefits of his only begotten Son, and empowered by the Spirit to do by grace what we could never do in our fallen nature. We are new creations, brand new beings who are blessed by God's own presence living and active within us. That means we don't rely on mere human toil and struggle to do God's will. We rest on his tireless power at work within us. We are enabled to live the way God wants simply because he's the one that's active, doing it through us. And every time we rely on the Spirit, we make our Father smile and give Jesus one less sin to intercede for us about. We are living into who we truly are as God's children. This morning, as you reflect on who you are, looking at heaven as much as looking at yourself, ask this question: Lord, have I been truly relying on you? Have I been showing in my actions that I am your child? We all have a family resemblance. Either we look more and more like Jesus as we learn to lean on the Holy Spirit each day, or we look more and more like the devil as we try to do things by ourselves. In a few moments, we'll be renewing our baptismal covenant and we'll be reaffirming that we renounce sin, Satan, and all the forces of evil that war against God's good creation. Are you trying to be good but keep failing miserably? Are you avoiding hard questions that Jesus is asking you by lowering the bar? Have you simply given up hope, thinking that you can never live in a way that pleases God? Well, then quit the racket of works. Jesus has already done for us more than we could ever do for ourselves. Lean on the Spirit who dwells within you. Let God himself do the work in you and through you. When you mess up, fess up and then get up. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse you. Let the love of the Father embrace you. Let the Spirit blow over those dead areas of your life so that way they can be brought back to life again. Our Lord didn't give you his Spirit so you could cower in fear or crumble under pressure. He gave you his own presence so you could rely on him and not yourself. In the midst of temptation, there's always a way through. And when we do fail, we don't need to stay down. God has not rejected you, given up on you, and he's always right there to strengthen you. Wake up and see that God has made you his daughter, his son, and granted you more than enough to face any trouble that you may come up against. You are God's own beloved child, and he has granted you his very own Spirit to prove it. Let him prove it, and you will realize more and more just how amazing God's grace truly is. Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son came into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil and make us children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that having this hope, we may purify ourselves as he is pure, that when he comes again with power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.